blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 166, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Praise waits in Zion, Lord, for thee, and unto thee shall vows be paid. O thou that hearest those who cry, to thee by all shall prayer be made. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 166.
wish to read out of God's holy and precious word from the book of Psalms, thereof Psalm 32. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 32. A Psalm of David, Maskil. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, a time is quickly passing away. Like an ever-rolling stream bearing its sons away. And we may hear from thy holy word that time is precious because it is a time wherein thou mayest be found. And when eternity comes, then thou mayest not be found anymore. Oh, give to us understanding hearts, because we are ever seekers of that which is vain and carnal and sinful. And we do not know what is worth all and much greater than what can be found in this world. Oh, that thou may teach it to us, that we may be indeed instructed by thee and guided by thee, and that we may not be as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, as the beasts of the field that do perish. Oh, that thou may look upon us in this day of grace, and in a special way this thy holy day, because it is a day wherein we may for a moment stop, Cease all the labors of our hands lawfully. When thou sayest we need not work in this day, we may not work in this day, but we may set it aside as thou hast set it aside for thee and for the need of our souls in a special way. And Lord, we beseech thee then in these moments when we do make use in an outward way of thy institutions in this hour, and when thou hast promised in thy holy word that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, and there that thou art in the midst of them, oh, that we may truly be gathered together in thy name in this afternoon hour, because when we are not gathered in thy name, then we are gathered in our own name and for our own purposes. But oh, that we may be gathered here as those who cannot miss thee, who cannot do without thee, and that we may gather to pray unto thee as we have read together in that time when thou mayest be found. For all those who are godly shall do so, Lord. We are not godly unless thou givest godliness in our hearts. Oh, that thou may remember us and give us a true cry to thee in a day of grace, in a time of salvation, and that the need may truly be bound upon our hearts, both of young and old together, that we could not live so vainly in the midst of this world, as so empty with all that is here below, that we might miss that substance that we were created in and with, oh, that we could not do without thee anymore, and that we could not live in our iniquities, in our transgressions, and in our sins. Oh, that our hearts may be drawn to cry out to thee, because the floods of great waters are indeed coming, and we do not believe it. Lord, thou knowest our unbelief. Oh, we are so full of it, even as that first world. Oh, then we can see all around us the signs, and thou dost lay before us thy truth every Sabbath day again. And our hearts are so dead and so cold, oh Lord, for a sigh to sigh and for a cry to cry. Thy people do beseech thee, oh, look upon them also in the day of thy day, this day, thy holy day. Oh, grant them an undeserved blessing. So many times they do transgress. Oh, they do wander away from thee as sheep. Oh Lord, thou alone can bring them back, because we know well how to go away, but we do not know how to come back again. And that is thy own work by thy own spirit. Thou gave it unto thy servants, thy servant David. Thou gave it unto thy servant Solomon. And when they had wandered away from thee, and thou didst bring them back again, and thou hast given them to write of it in thy holy word for us. Oh, that we may be ashamed of ourselves, and that we also, even with such instruction, do wander away continually. But we beseech thee for the power of thy most holy spirit. Oh, that thou would come, Lord, and that thou would come in this afternoon hour, and that thou may grant us thy spirit. Oh, that thou may give us a ray of light from heaven into thy holy word, that we may bring thy word, but also that we may receive thy word. There is no place for it in our hearts by nature. And even after received grace, oh Lord, we are so ignorant, and we are so foolish, and we are so sinful. Oh, we need to be guided, to be led by thee. We need to be drawn by thee. Thou alone can grant us what we need. Oh, Lord, do it then for thy name's sake. Glorify thy own name and that of thy dear Son in the hearts of both young and old. Oh, that we may be given to see and to feel, that our eyes may be opened, that our ears may be opened, that our hearts may be opened, and that thy word may be opened, and that this thy house may be filled with thy Spirit, that it may be filled with instruction, and that we may be led by thee, guided by thee, upon the pathway that leads unto life eternal. To whom else shall we go, O Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Do it then for thy name's sake and for the building up of thy kingdom here below. Would it not be for thy glory and for thy honor? And when we would be taken out of the midst of this world and with all the desires of the world in our heart and of sin in our heart, and that we may be made upright with thy servant, oh, to confess it all before thee, and to desire to turn therefrom. Remember the children and the youth. Lord, thou knowest all that that lives in their young hearts. Oh, could it be in the days of their youth that they may be even as thy servant David, and when he was upon the fields of Bethlehem, and when there were desires in his young heart after the true and the living God. Oh, thou didst make such a use of him in this world, and to set him over thy people, and to write thy holy word. Oh, Lord, could it be also in our youth? Give parents wisdom. Oh, that we may know how to bring up our children in the tender fear of thy name. Give us faithfulness, give us diligence, and grant thy blessing upon all the labors. Give our youth and our children to walk in the tender fear of thee. Keep them also in these weeks when they are not in school, and there is much coming and going in the midst of this world. But then there are also callings that are coming unto us. Oh, Lord, we know not our life for one moment. At one moment we can be flourishing in this world, and the next moment we can be in that great eternity. Oh, we need, Lord, to be protected by thee, and we need to be given understanding hearts. Wilt thou keep each one in these weeks? Watch over and protect us. And wilt thou care for those that mourn? For thou knowest their place also in this day, the shock that has come unto that family. O Lord, that thou may also instruct them all together and comfort all that mourn. Remember the parents who hope to leave in this week to bring their child under the care of the doctors in the womb, the mother and child together all look upon them in all the needs. Could it please thee, Lord, to spare this child? Oh, that thou may give that life, and that it may yet be born into this world, and that the doctors may be given skill and wisdom therein. And could it please thee to work in the heart of this child and all those children and all of our children and parents together? Remember all and that have responsibilities over others. Oh Lord, we need to be given as such a faithfulness. Oh Lord, that thou be help us also as a consistory in this week when we meet together. Give us wisdom, give us faithfulness, and give us thy blessing and thy spirit to work shoulder to shoulder for the welfare of the flock over which thou hast made us overseers. And may thou bless all the labors of our hands. Care for all that rule and reign over us. Remember also the elections that take place in the coming months in the United States of America. O Lord, thou knowest the need, thou knowest the turmoils. Oh, could it please thee also there, as the king, the ruler of the whole universe, to watch over that nation for good, and to give a man in thy favor also here in our own nation. Lord, thou knowest all that do rule over us. Oh, give us men who may turn us again to thy law and to thy testimonies. And wilt thou care for all those that bring thy word, increase their number. Remember the mission fields and care for those that are persecuted for thy name's sake. Remember the widows. Remember the needy. Remember those who suffer from addictions. Those who do not know in their mind anymore one thing from another. And Lord, thou knowest all the distresses. Oh, that thou may be near to the needy and be with those that are poor. Oh, make us poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of God. May it be also in this hour. Oh, that we might be, that our eyes might be opened, and that we might know thee, and that we might know ourselves, and that our souls may receive thy salvation. Give us a little attentiveness, both young and old together, separated from all the thoughts of this time and the cares of this world, as separated in thy presence. We ask that it may also be with thy blessing and with thy favor, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 419, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Forth from thy courts and thy sacred dwelling in jubilant accord, we hear sweet strains of praises swelling, O Israel's mighty Lord. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 419. Beloved congregation, if only I could move your heart, if only I could move my own heart, because if our heart is not moved, what is the good of all our religion? But I cannot move my heart. Neither can I move the heart of any one of you. That is the Lord's work. It is the work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And that is why we have prayed to Him before that we have left our home, right? You did that, right? That is why, boys and girls, you found for a moment before you left a little secret place. And you said, Lord, my minister cannot give me anything. He cannot give me a new heart. But wilt thou come and be in our midst? Did you do that? And when you came and we began this service, then your heart cried out to Him or not? O Lord, wilt thou come and give to us what we cannot give unto ourselves? And as you are listening now, your heart is still crying, is it not? Does it do that, O Lord? It is thy Sabbath day, it is the service of the Lord, and the time that is quickly passing away, another hour, the Lord willing, and it all be done again. And if it does not happen in one of those moments that I am sitting in thy house, when can I expect it to happen? Because this world and I myself is quickly passing away. We cannot give it to ourselves, and yet there are means, not our means. They are the means of the Lord. Because Paul says that the goodness of the Lord leadeth us unto repentance. Thus, though we have not the power, still we are given the means. And it is by those means that the Lord is moving the heart of a man, especially the goodness of the Lord. That is why we have chosen to speak of those words. In these few weeks, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Because if that is not goodness, then what is goodness? And if such words do not break our hard and stony hearts and do not melt our cold hearts like wax, what will? What will? What then can we say that would make a saving impression, that would make a change as we are going together to eternity? But maybe there is a little burning in your heart when you may hear something of that goodness of the Lord. Maybe there is a little drawing under it. Maybe there is a little coming of the soul to lay all the sin and all the transgression and all the iniquity before Him. Maybe when you hear a little of who that the Lord is, that you perceive something of the invitation of the Lord, that you also may be drawn, that you also may receive. Years ago, I read about a revival. I think it was in Northampton, Massachusetts. There were in America a number of revivals in those days, but they did not all come to much because there was much commotion and there was much excitement. And that is not the way the Lord is working. But it was said in that revival that it was very different. How was it? Well, it was said to be very quiet. It was said that there was just a quiet weeping, just a quiet sorrow that began to move throughout that congregation. That the Lord was working an impression. The knowledge of self in light of who that the Lord is. And so the Lord worked among that people by His Holy Spirit. That is very different than the many other revivals or so-called revivals that we can read about. May the Lord give such a weeping amongst us also. Exodus 34 verse 7, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin. And today, forgiving transgression. We want to see that in two thoughts. First, what transgression is. And second, the forgiveness of transgression. Forgiving transgression, what transgression is, and the forgiveness of transgression. Forgiving transgression, what is transgression, congregation? The word is pesha in Hebrew, sometimes translated sin or trespass. A trespass. You ever see a sign, young people? It says, no trespassing. Then there's a place you know that you are not allowed to go. Then there is put a border around that property. And you are not permitted to step over that border. Because once you step over that border, you are trespassing and you are transgressing that commandment. Who put that commandment there? Who set that boundary there? Well, you say the person that owns that property. He has an authority. He has a right because he is the owner. And he has a right to say what is done with that property of his own. And he desires none to trespass upon it. And therefore he has made that border and therefore he has made this law. Children, do you have a little sister, a little brother? We had baptism here a little while ago. And where does your little infant brother or sister play? You say they play in the playpen or maybe some other area that your mother, your father have put aside that is just for them. And just in that place, they have the things that will not hurt them. That they cannot hurt themselves with, that is for them a safe place, that is done why, that is done out of love. Is it not, boys and girls? That is done out of love for the safety, the welfare of your little newborn brother or sister, and you love them too, right? And so when there is a time that they have something in their hand that you say they should not have that, then you will say, mother, father, look. Or you will take that away yourself, or you say they come near unto the stairs, they come out, oh, and then you want to take away from them that opportunity. Thus your mother and father have placed around your little brother or sister boundaries, boundaries. That there they may live and there they may dwell for their safety. And now what about you? Do your mother and father also place around you certain boundaries? They are not like your little brother or sisters anymore. They are different. But do you sometimes step over those boundaries? Do you sometimes go past into that forbidden ground for you? Do you sometimes dismiss that line that your mother and father have drawn for you for your safety, out of love in their heart? Do you know what that is when you go over that line? That is the sin that is contained in that word in our text. It is called a transgression. Trans means across. That you go across. And when you transgress, you cross, you go over a certain line. That is very sinful. Why is that so sinful? Because your mother and father has put that line there. And because the Lord has said to you that you must obey your mother and your father in those lines that they are lovingly set, those boundaries that they are lovingly set for you, and with that mother and father heart that the Lord has placed in them, that is all for your welfare, for the good of this life and for the good of another life. When the Lord has created man, congregation, the Lord has created us under law, and he has established with Adam also a covenant that is regarding that law. You say, well, is not man created free? Yes. Man is created free. But what does that mean? To be free. That does not mean that he is created without boundaries, that he is created without limits, that he is just allowed to do everything that he pleases. That is not the freedom that the Lord has created us in. No, the Lord has created us with the ability to be who he created us to be. Yes, he does give to a dog the ability to be a dog, and then that dog is free not to be some other animal. He has created a man free to be a man. But a man is not free to be a woman. And a woman is not free to be a man. That is not how they were created. Neither is that freedom at all. The boundaries God has set, he has set for the welfare of man, for his protection. Who knows what is good for man? Oh, that is the Lord alone. We think we know better than he. Just as a little child thinks he knows better than his mother and his father. But the Lord knows better than a mother and father knows even for their own infant. And now those boundaries the Lord has set for us out of love. It is the love of God for his own creature. So what is that fence? What is the fence that the Lord has placed around us? That fence is his law. That is the moral law that the Lord has created us so high that we are able to perceive what is right and what is wrong. And we are able to live freely under that law. That is not true of the animals. They also have a law, not the moral law. They have a law of instinct. Ask the farmers. They can tell what an animal will do sometimes because they learn what that instinct, how that instinct guides that animal. And then we have the law of nature, by which the sun and the moon and all the things in this world are guided by the Lord. And man, oh, the Lord sets his boundary for the world. He says to the sea, so far you may come, and here thy proud waves are to be stayed. And man, he gives to him his holy law. That is the fence. What was the great and first transgression? That was to eat of that forbidden fruit. Oh, you say that was such a simple thing. You ever say that? It was such a simple thing. Just to take of that fruit and to eat. Maybe you say, was that really so bad? That is what the devil says. You not hear that so often? In your own heart, is that so bad that I do that? Is this really so bad? Is it really so sinful? The congregation God had given to Adam and Eve, the whole garden. The devil says, may you eat of every tree of the garden? Hath God said you may not eat of every tree? No, he was corrected by the woman. We may eat of the trees of the garden. As he begins with his lie. And there was just one tree. All the trees of the garden. Now just one tree. The Lord says, thou shalt not eat of that tree. Oh, was that so harsh of the Lord? That he reserved one tree? That they may have all the rest. But just from this one tree, they must stay away? Is that so difficult? Is God so harsh in setting such a boundary that he says to his creature, he says, you may not pass this boundary. Thus Eve took of the fruit and did eat. What did she do? She stepped over. She just stepped over that boundary. When she stepped over that boundary, what did she become? She became a transgressor. A transgressor. Trespassing. On forbidden ground. By that one simple deed. Why? Because the Lord had said it. When Adam put forth his hand. And he took of that fruit. Then Adam also became a transgressor. And he also at the same time broke that covenant which the Lord had made with him. And now what? Do you know what the Bible says about you and I? It says that we are now transgressors from the womb. Transgressors from the womb. Why? Because who can bring forth a clean thing out of an unclean? We get that from our first father and our first mother. They have become transgressors by their own deed. And we are now called, it says in the Bible, so that is our very name. You name your child, parents, nice name, right? Nice name, maybe a biblical name. Maybe a name with some meaning. You say, I hope that they may rise up, grow up to fulfill that name. But you know what the Bible says that their name is? Transgressor. A transgressor from the womb. One who always steps over the boundaries. You ever watch that infant children, a little brother and sister, in their playpen? Doesn't take long. And what does he want? He wants out. He wants out. He wants those boundaries to be taken away. Is he just content when father and mother will say, this is now the place that I give you to play? There are all the toys that you may play with that are safe for you. Is he then content there? Or does he always desire to take away those boundaries, to step over those boundaries? And that is already when they are an infant. Does that change children? Does that change young people? Does that change fathers and mothers? Does that change grandfathers and grandmothers? Doesn't change. Because the Lord says we are called a transgressor from the womb. And it is always those boundaries that the Lord has set, that we have a desire to transgress. Were they made there for us in such a rigorous manner? Do we not retain such a freedom within those boundaries that we may enjoy so much that the Lord has given unto us? Or are not his commandments limited? They are limited to 10. That is all. That is all. Is that many? And everything else, the Lord says, when you may remain within those boundaries, he says, that is lawful unto you. David took Bathsheba to himself. And when he did so, he transgressed. That was not his wife. That was the wife of his neighbor. That was the wife of Uriah. The Lord had placed the fence there about marriage, a boundary that is for the good of everyone. But David has stepped over that boundary. Was that boundary so oppressive that David needed to take such a step? Did he not have sufficient of his own? Listen a moment. I will read to you what the Lord said to David. I anointed thee king over Israel and delivered thee out of the hand of Saul and gave thy master's house to thee, and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. What does the Lord do? He records everything that he gave to David in a book. It's all recorded for us. The Lord keeps that record. That is the record of his liberality. All the freedoms that the Lord grants unto us, the Lord rehearses them here to David. Just like Adam and Eve, he says, I have given every tree of that garden, and then I've set just a little boundary. And I have said that you may not cross this boundary. So David, the Lord says to David, he lists all the things that he has given unto him, and all of his goodness. And then he declares unto him his transgression against him. David tried to hide it, but he could not hide it, because we cannot hide from the Lord. And us, when we look upon a woman to lust after her, committing adultery with her in our heart, the Lord Jesus says, transgressing, stepping over in that moment, stepping over that boundary, that line that the Lord has placed for our good around marriage. It's just one example, but it's an important example. Maybe you do that with your phone, young people. It's not only young people. Maybe you do that with your phone. That is all available. And then your parents, they try to make for you a boundary. They say, you may not step over that boundary. Ah, you say, but I know how to do it. I know how to do it secretly. Do you realize that every look is a transgression? Every single time that we are stepping over a line, a line that the Lord has placed, boundary that the Lord has placed, with love in his heart for his creatures, do you realize the danger of stepping over that boundary? The danger for this life, for your bodily and social welfare, and the danger for your soul. Traveling to meet him, we cannot speak, congregation, about the entire law in this afternoon. And it is in the Lord's providence that we begin to hear that from Sabbath to Sabbath out of our catechism. And then we can meditate upon these things. But now for a moment, what are the boundaries that the Lord is placing around, let me say, well, today, the Sabbath day? What are the boundaries? Oh, then the Lord says, not speaking thine own words, not doing the labors of our hands, is that then so harsh? One day, 7 days, he says, I give to you, when you may do all the work of your hands. And I demand that you give one day for me. And it is not only for me, but it is for you, that you may stop a moment every week again Because we do not stop, do we? We go on and on. The Lord says, I place that there, and I put a boundary about that. And I say, on this day, then you are not to be doing what you are doing on every other day. All the pleasures of your hands, boys and girls, are you asking mother and father, you may go outside and ride your bicycle and all those things on the Sabbath day? Oh, be careful. Be careful. Because the Lord has placed his boundary around that holy day out of love for your soul, out of his own goodness. We may possess, congregation, so many things. All lawfully. The Lord has given possessions to David. The Lord has given to possessions to Solomon. So many riches. But then a boundary. He says, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. Think about that. Comes time to fill in your tax papers. You think about that? And there are certain boundaries. And you say, well, may I do that? To whom does that belong? Does that belong to Caesar? Or does that belong to you? Oh, our hearts are so deceitful. We read about Ahab. He rose up, and then he went down to take possession of the vineyard of Naboth. And what do we read the Lord said in an effective way? He says, Ahab, you're standing on stolen ground. Stolen ground. When the Lord says, congregation, thou shalt not covet, then he puts a boundary. He puts a boundary upon our life. He says all the things, he says you must now be content. Content with the things that I have given unto you. Is that not good? What is more restful? What is more peaceful in our own experiences than to be content? And what is more agitating to our soul than covetousness? What is more damaging to our soul as we journey to eternity? Thus we experience those things. We feel them. And yet, how many times a day do we not step over that boundary? Thou shalt not covet. Let us sing a moment. 38, 1, 4, and 5. Jehovah's perfect law restores the soul again. His testimony sure gives wisdom unto men, and what follows in 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 38. forgiving transgression, that is pesha. Actually, that is from another word. They call that a root word. And that root word is just one letter different. That is pasha with an A instead of an E. What does pasha mean? Pasha means rebellion. Thus first pasha, pasha with an A. A becomes before E, children. Pasha, that is rebellion. And out of pasha, rebellion, comes pesha, comes transgression. So transgression, that is the outward deed, or it may even be an inward thought, but it is all proceeding from pasha. It is all proceeding from rebellion. Young people, when you transgress the commandment of your father or the commandment of your mother, you rebel. You rebel. You rebel against authority. You say, I am going to be my own boss. And do you know what causes the most grief to your father and mother who have set there that boundary? Many times it is not even the deed, the thing itself, but it is the fact that you did not obey. Or that can be like a knife that goes into their heart. And why is that? Why is it that your mother and father feel that so much? It is because pesha comes out of pasha. It is because in every transgression there is rebellion. And those boundaries have been laid there out of the love of the heart of your mother and of your father. Oh, will we remember, congregation, that every transgression, every stepping over the line, oh, how easy can we do that sometimes? Many times even without a thought. But every crossing the line that is proceeding out of rebellion against the Lord. Do you know what we do? Do you know what we say when we go over that line? We say, I do not agree that line should be in that place. I do not agree with that boundary. I think that boundary should be taken away. I want to be free from it. And I simply will not obey. That is rebellion. That is living in our heart with every single transgression against the commandments of the Lord. That we are saying to Him, I will not have Thee to reign over me. And that refuse to submit to thy limits. Who alone has no limits? That is God. He is bound only by himself. Today in the world, our young people will know that. Then there is much ado with what they call artificial intelligence. It is not really intelligence, because these are not people. Intelligence belongs to people that are created by God. Computers cannot think. No, they can only compute, but they can seem to be intelligent. And when they are computing probabilities and giving answers according to those probabilities with great speed, then it can almost seem like they are a human being and that they have intelligence. Do you know that there are meetings that are happening among the highest levels of government, even between the enemy nations in this world, about these things? And what do they discuss about those things? Well, they speak together about putting limits on it. They speak together about putting certain boundaries to it. And why do they want these boundaries? Well, because they are afraid of losing control of this thing. That machine cannot rebel. It has no will. It is not a human being. But it can do things often so much faster and therefore so much better sometimes than a human being can do it. And now, if that so-called artificial intelligence would break out of its bounds, then what? Then what? Yeah, that is a very fearful thing. What would we do with it then? You say we would quickly destroy it and destroy the ability that it has and that we have given it. Is that not something? That is the invention of man. The invention of a man. That invention of a man, man is now seeking to place laws around it. Certain limits, certain boundaries, that it cannot go past those limits. And that it cannot come against our own authority. That is what man is doing with this new invention of his, which is often very useful. But of course can be very, very dangerous, like so many other things. And yet that same man does not look upward. He does not look upward to his creator and to his maker, who has given unto him true intelligence. He does not look to the boundaries that God has placed around him. He does not mourn over the transgressions, the stepping over of those bounds. That same man. But what does now our text say? It says, forgiving transgression. Pesha, that comes out of the root of pasha, rebellion. What do you think? Is the Lord not good? We would destroy that machine. We would destroy it if it will come out of its boundaries. And the Lord says who he is. Forgiving Pesha, Oh, is there a little melting of our heart? If that does not make our heart to melt, are we not very, very hard? The Lord, congregation, does not forgive dry sins. No, the goodness of the Lord leadeth man unto repentance. What does it mean? David wept. He wept bitter tears. The Lord says, why hast thou despised? You have transgressed. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil against the Lord? What does it mean to despise? That is to hold it in contempt. You have disdained the commandment of the Lord. You have rebelled against me. And then all under my goodness and under my love and everything that I have given unto you. Heart ever break? What happened with David when the Lord said that to him by Nathan the prophet? His heart broke. His heart broke. Is that not a wonder? Just read Psalm 51 when you go home and hear what happened. When the Lord came to him and the Lord said to him all the things that he had given unto him, made a list of them, all the freedoms. He said, then I put a boundary around this one thing, the neighbor's wife, and you stepped over. And then David began to weep. He began to weep. Your heart ever begin to weep? Over the love of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, over the transgressions, your own transgressions, your heart ever begin to weep because of the love of the Lord and the rebellion that is living in every transgression against him, unrepentant, is unforgiven. When there is a man standing there before the judge, unrepentant, then he is not forgiven. No, repentance is not a meriting cause, no. But it comes out of that true repentance. Oh, it is coming out of that sorrow. What do we read of Zacchaeus? Then when the Lord is working, the Lord showed to Zacchaeus who he was. He showed to him his transgressions. What did Zacchaeus say? He says, Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. What is that? What is that? Oh, when the Lord converts us, then we begin to go back. What did David say? He says, remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. And begin to go back. You ever go back? Every line. Oh, you see, I have stepped over it there. And I have stepped over it there. And I've stepped over it there. Then it begins to multiply. Begins to multiply. And then there is a desire. Oh, never. I don't want to do that anymore. That is what Zacchaeus said. Oh, then we have a desire never to transgress. then our life becomes so careful before the Lord, forgiving transgression. That is the Lord speaking. What is he speaking about? He is speaking about himself. He's saying to Moses who he is. Who he is. And when he says to Moses who he is, he says, forgiving transgression. Why would the Lord say that to Moses? That Moses can say that unto the people. Why does the Lord say that unto us? Forgiving transgression. Oh, is it not to draw such a transgressor? Is it not to draw him back again unto himself? That is his desire. That is why he sent forth his only begotten Son. His beloved Son, that he may be just, that he may be righteous, and at the same time, that he may forgive transgression. He counted his Son a transgressor, a rebel. You hear that, don't you? Because that is the accusation they laid against him when they brought him before Pilate. Oh, this man speaks against Caesar. He raises an insurrection. He does not submit to the limits. To the limits Caesar puts on us. He will not give tribute unto Caesar. He is a rebel. He is congregation, our only hope. He is our only hope. You feel that today? Why is he our only hope? Because the Lord says that we are called a transgressor from the womb. Transgressor from the womb. Rebellious children, the Lord says, who will not hear my law. Forgiving transgression. Congregation. We would break your heart. We would break your heart. It is over already. Just an hour. What can we say? To break your heart before you go out. We cannot break your heart. We cannot break our own heart. But we need to be broken, that we may be brought to his footstool. The father of the prodigal son. What was his greatest grief? What was his greatest grief? Oh, he watched his son. He watched him go. He watched him go out of his own house. What was he seeking? He was seeking to be relieved from all the limits that were placed on him by that paternal love of his father and of his mother.
Took everything with him. Everything. Everything that he had received from his father. He turned his back to him. And went away. He said, now I have no law. Now I can live my life the way I want to live. He said, now I'm free. What was it? It was rebellion. It was transgression. With rebellion at the root of that transgression. And it was rebellion against what? It was rebellion against the love of his father. Against the love of his father. Which set there those boundaries for his own good. You know, when we read about the first world, we read that it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Grieved him. What is grief? It's heart pain. You know that heart pain? Your loved one dies, and you have pain in your heart. And it grieved the Lord, caused him pain. All the transgressions of his creatures, they did not repent. They did not repent. There was no sorrow. There was no tear. Though they were preached to for 120 years. Though that ark was built before them. Though they were invited. They could not find it in their heart to be sorry for all their transgressions. And then they perished. But now that prodigal, in his misery and in his guilt, he thought back about his father. He thought back about his father. Think back a little bit about your Maker. About where you come from. And then he said, I will arise. I will arise and I will go unto my father. And I will say, I've sinned. I've sinned against heaven and before thee. What made him do that? What made him dare? It was a little bit of the knowledge of his father. Namely what? Forgiving transgressions. A little bit the knowledge of his father. So he rose up and he went. And was he disappointed? It's impossible. Impossible. Why is it impossible? Because his father could not change himself. That is why God says to Moses, who he is and who he remains. forever and forever. Forgiving Pesha. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou sayest who thou art. Break thou our hearts which we cannot break. O melt them as wax before the fire, that thy goodness may truly lead us to a true repentance. O bring us, Lord, to thy footstool, that we may experience who that thou art and who that thou remainest, world without end, and that thy name may be so magnified in the name of thy dear and only begotten and beloved Son, to dismiss us with thy blessing, O watch over us in the week to come. Be with those who must gather around an open grave. Care for that widow in a special way. Help thy servant there. Be with us in our consistory meeting. Be with all those who travel in these days. Give traveling mercies. And forgive all our transgressions. And keep us therefrom. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 83, all the stanzas. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 83.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.